You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
In this piece, the Asthma and Respiratory Foundation and the Secondary Principals Association released their recent study on vaping amongst youth in New Zealand. Apparently, the study was New Zealand's biggest vaping survey, with 19,000 students from years 9 to 13 participating. The survey was carried out due to growing concerns from schools, teachers and parents over vaping and smoking habits. Joe speaks to Letitia Harding, the chief executive of the Asthma and Respiratory Foundation, about the findings of the study.
So tell me about this study's findings.
Yeah, I suppose for us, some of the concerning findings are, well, the number of youth actually vaping out there, and the fact that it's actually increased quite a lot. 27% of those reported vaping, and actually 15% even reported smoking traditional cigarettes in the past week. So those were quite alarming statistics. And also the concentration of nicotine in the vapes that, the students are vaping with. Yeah, so the nicotine levels were a really interesting finding that, over 79%, so we're actually having nicotine vapes at very high concentrations, so around 24 to 50 milligrams, and that is quite an addictive level of nicotine. And the other thing, of course, is, they're accessing from dairies, which, is a huge concern.
Vaping started off as an alternative to smoking, and somewhat harmless. Now that it's become its own thing, do you think it's causing just as much harm as far as nicotine addiction goes?
Yeah, I think the issue is that, we've never been a strong proponent of these being the magic bullet for people to stop smoking anyway. Actually, the only evidence surrounding people using vapes to quit smoking is when it's with intense sort of wraparound behavioural support. And that's when, traditional sort of MedSafe approved products have failed. We also know that a lot of people, of course, are smoking and vaping together. So we call that, dual smoking and vaping. That's actually a big concern in New Zealand. They're not sort of using vaping to transition from smoking and then quit vaping. So we also know that these high nicotine levels, they're a lot higher than the nicotine that you would get in a packet of cigarettes. So the concerning thing for us is that we have parents talking to us and saying, their kids are going through a vaping pod in sort of 2 to 3 hours. And if you're thinking that, a pack of cigarettes, you're getting around sort of 36 milligrams of nicotine, and from these sort of vapes between 24 and 50 milligrams, if a young person is doing that within 2 to 3 hours, then, it is a real problem, and it is certainly potential to become addicted, as we're seeing from the results of this survey. That's a huge concern. They were introduced, I believe, just under the veil of a sort of quit smoking, and we haven't seen the rates of smoking go down, considering how long vapes have been around and accessible in New Zealand, that you would expect. And now we've got a new generation of kids we know are addicted to nicotine.
Who would you say is in a better position to deal with a situation like this? Do parents need to make a conscious effort to ensure their kids aren't getting hooked on these products, as well as schools ensuring that students aren't vaping?
I think that, getting information and education out there is really key. I think that you're right, as you said in the beginning, vaping was seen, and especially by young people, as being harmless. And that's how it's sort of been depicted for some time, and incorrectly so. It may be less harmful than cigarette smoking, but it's not harmless. And in fact, we know now more and more evidence of the effects that it does have on the heart and lungs, the negative effects. So we also know that schools are going to drastic actions, putting in sort of vaping detectors in the toilets. There's no vaping or smoking, of course, on the school ground. So the Principals Association, the schools are really trying to stamp this out. And, it's concerning when we looked through this you can tell by the frequency of the vaping, kids are doing it at lunchtime, and they're often quite discreet products too. You know, they're very sleek looking, a lot of these single use products. They look like a little sort of USB type stick, and so they can be quite discreet. They're not always a big plume of vape that comes out for them. And and you can tell from the results of this study with 86% of students who were vaping more than once a day reporting they felt addicted to vaping and had some adverse effect on their health. I mean, it is a concern, and we need to really be educating on that as much as possible.
The study also touched on the effect vaping has on mental health. Can you touch on this?
Yeah, I mean, you can get vape products with zero nicotine in them. However, they don't tend to be, as you can tell from the data here, only 2.8% were actually using zero nicotine products. So they do tend to be going for higher nicotine products anyway. And nicotine does have an effect on the developing brain. There's enough papers out there that show that, especially, you know, teenagers where that development is still happening. Concentration, nicotine is well known to have an adverse effect on this. And we know, of course, the effect on lung tissue, circulatory system, and long-term studies we don't know yet with vaping, things like they talk about with, you know, cigarettes and carcinogenic and toxins and things like that. The long-term effects of that will still take some time. But, you know, the adverse effects are in black and white, and we've got so many published papers now. You know, you shouldn't be picking up a vape and getting addicted to it. They were supposed to be introduced as an answer for quit smoking. However, smoking hasn't declined in the rate that you would expect it to with these vapes. And now we've got a whole other problem out there, as the survey shows.
Looking to the future, what are some of the ways which could help prevent children from being able to pick up vapes so easily?
Yeah, I mean, it may be. We've heard from parents, and you remember that we hear from concerned parents in schools all the time about this. Maybe just having the three flavours in dairies isn't the answers. You know, maybe we actually need to ban vapes in dairies as well. That may be something to go a bit further, because we know that some small general stores are actually dedicating a whole section of their store and converting it to a vape retailing premises. So we've heard of stories of parents going into their equivalent of a dairy where they've got those claw machines for kids, and right next door they've got vape products now. So maybe we need to go further and actually ban access of them in dairies, and they should only be sold in specialist vape retail stores. And maybe we also need to cap the limit of those around the country. We've certainly got over 600 listed transitional vape retailers around the country, and you know, that is a lot. And I think curbing the how close they are to schools is really important as well. That's something that will help. And then we need to look at ways to educate youth that these aren't harmless products, that they do have negative health effects, and then actually help kids who are now addicted to nicotine. And we've got stories from parents who are talking about this, saying that their kid is basically addicted to nicotine and there's nowhere to get help. And so we now need to start looking at that as well.
And that was Letitia Harding talking to Joe. And they encourage, if you want to get educated on vaping and its impact on you, that you can visit their website, don'tgetsuckedin.co.nz.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.